We welcome you to this podcast of Calvary Lutheran Church's worship service for Sunday, the 14th of June. It is the second Sunday after Pentecost. We would like to ask you to hold Bonnie Johnson in your prayers as she is having surgery this week. It will take place on Friday the 12th. Nevertheless, we ask that you continue to remember Bonnie in your prayers for healing from her procedure. I thank Pastor Mark Canapi for being our guest preacher this weekend, for bringing the Word of God to us. Thank you so very much, Pastor Mark, for your contribution to our worship service this morning. I'd like to invite you to take note of the fact that our mission of the month for June now turns its attention to mission and our North American Lutheran Church's involvement in Christian work and mission around the world. We will have guest speakers next weekend, the 20th and 21st, from the World Mission Prayer League, which are mission partners of the North American Lutheran Church. And these are individuals who are serving on our behalf in the country of India. So we commend to you the mission endeavor of our church. And finally, I'd like to point out to those of you who do receive the Calvary Connections in your inbox, either in the form of an electronic copy or mailed out to you, a very important article and statement from our presiding bishop, Dan Selbo, addressing the racial tensions and divisions and need for healing in our country and the North American Lutheran Church response to that. Bishop Selbo writes well and compellingly, and we would certainly urge you to join him in his request for prayers for healing in our nation. We begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We now take a few moments for silent reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they, blood is our King, and here is our love, and here is our God who's come to bring us back to Him. He is the one, and He is Jesus. My faith would lay its hand on that dear head of thine. Well, as a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. My soul looks back to see the burden thou did bear. When hanging on the cursed tree, I know my guilt was there, it was there. Here is our King, and here is our love, and here is our God who's come to bring us back to Him. He is the one, and He is Jesus. Jesus, and He is our King, and He is our love, and He is our God who's come to bring us back to Him. He is the one, and He is Jesus. He is Jesus. God has come to bring us back to Him. He is the one, He is Jesus. Jesus, and here is our King, and here is our love, and here is our God has come to bring us back to Him. He is the one, and He is Jesus. He is Jesus, He is our King, and He is our love, and He is our God has come to bring us back to Him. He is the one, and He is Jesus. Jesus.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
O Lord our God, arrange the course of this world, that peace may come and your tranquil church rejoice through greater service. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town, shake off the dust of your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Hi, everyone. This is Megan. Today, we are going to talk about love. So, we have to start from the beginning. When you see a heart, what do you think of? I think of love. We think and talk about love a lot more than we think, especially now since we can't see everyone. Sometimes we say stuff like, "I love ice cream," or "I love watching movies." We also say to our parents, family members, and some friends, "I love you." Tell your parent what you think love is. We all have different answers on what we think love is, but there's one answer we can all agree on, and that we can find in the Bible. God not only told us what love is, he shows us. The Bible says God shows how much he loves us by sending Jesus to die for us, even though we are sinful. Wow, that's real love. God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us, even though we do not deserve it. Now, God could have said magic words to make the nails fall off the cross, but he didn't. That's love. I think that really says it all, don't you? And now let's have a pray after Megan prayer. Dear God, we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us, and for loving us, even when we don't deserve it. Help us to love others the same way. In your name, we pray and play. Amen. Have a good week, everyone.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age. From Advent through last week's festival of the Holy Trinity, we have been beholding the great goodness of the Lord. The Trinity has revealed its saving grace through the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Now we are jumping into the green season, time after Trinity, or as some call it, ordinary time. It is only ordinary in the sense that during this green season, we are given the duty and delight of responding to the wonders of his love that we have been immersed in during the festival time of the church. The green season will challenge us to be faithful disciples. This ordinary part of the church year will challenge us to grow into the holy garments of our baptisms. Today, it is the 9th and 10th chapters of St. Matthew that pulls us into the second half of the church year. Jesus is on the move, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. These are the exact same words that we read back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, right before Jesus sits down on the grassy slope to deliver the Sermon on the Mount. So from 4:23 to 9:35, Matthew is presenting us essentially with our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, the revelation that the kingdom of God has arrived in the person of Jesus and what that kingdom all entails. But now, at 9:35, our Lord is no longer sitting still. He is on the move, and we are on the move with him. The Lord is on the move from the Sermon on the Mount to the Sermon on the Mission. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Notice that our Lord's first move is not to place any more burdens or expectations on the masses. Their own shepherds have done enough of that. The heavy weight of numerous laws other than the Lord's laws have placed the people in a state of complete helplessness and hopelessness. They are cast down from the heavy yokes placed upon them from both their secular and spiritual leaders. The people have been overloaded with scruples and prohibitions instead of God's grace. Soon, Jesus will offer them a different yoke, one that is easy and light. And so the Lord's first impulse is, he had compassion for them. He felt deeply down into his very gut, his heart went out to them. Mission begins with a good shepherd who lives out leadership with a deeply needed passion for those who are helpless and hopeless. The depth of that compassion will later be revealed on a garbage dump outside of the city, hanging on a cross. But at this time, Jesus is assessing the landscape before him, and with a sense of deep reality, he makes this diagnosis. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus diagnoses an overwhelming situation. Harvest is huge, workers scarce. What is the first move? In this missionary time of overwhelming need and scarce resources, how does the Lord go about recruiting? He recruits by praying. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, workers, into the harvest. We get to recruitment and it must always begin with prayer. Going straight to the Lord, asking for more help for this bountiful harvest of men and women in need of the Good Shepherd, starts with prayer. Too often, churches and church bodies have bypassed prayer and placed great emphasis on catchy cliches and neatly designed programs, only to fail miserably in the midst of the abundant harvest. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus is spending time in prayer before calling the disciples into the harvest. Matthew puts it this way, "And he called to him 12 disciples, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction." Last week, we heard our Lord's departing words to the disciples. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That ultimate authority is given to the disciples for the sake of mission, with compassion, and for the healing of the world. But before the church is sent out into the world, the first move is this: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The first missionary move is in-house. Jesus knows his Bible well, and so the first appeal must go out to God's chosen. That is the order that must take place. One must shore up the fragile foundations of one's own house before undertaking further architectural endeavors. Go first to the lost sheep of Israel. Wilhelm Löhe, the 19th century Bavarian pastor of Lutheran stripe, followed the very instruction of our Lord. From a tiny, insignificant village, Neuendeltzau in Bavaria, pastors, teachers, missionaries were sent out to places in Europe, Africa, Australia, New Guinea, North America, especially Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and Iowa. But this did not happen at first. Löhe would distinguish between inner mission and outer mission. Intermission meant the immediate congregation. Löhe recognized the need for reform in the state church of Bavaria as well as his own parish. Upon arriving in Neuendeltzau, a call he did not want at all, he immediately had compassion on the rural poor in the area, especially the women. So he developed a deaconess house to be the hands and legs of the gospel in that area. Then he took on the church's life of prayer and worship, for like Luther before him, he soon realized how poorly catechized his parishioners were. So through vigorous teaching, renewing the church's liturgical life, reestablishing the Lord's Supper as the heart of the church, Löhe first focused on inner mission, going, so to speak, to the lost house of Israel. Only then would the Holy Spirit carry the gospel far beyond the borders of Bavaria. Inner mission, or attending to the household, today is of utmost necessity. Why? Because the Lord sends us out as sheep into the midst of wolves, and he promises us times of great persecution. If we don't want to be lunch for the wolves of the present day, the whole armor of God is vitally necessary. Here at Calvary, Pastor Nelson and the leadership are rightly providing this emphasis on in-house mission in order that we may be useful to the Lord out there. Inner mission is always focused on discipleship, and Calvary is offering many opportunities for adult congregants to continue to grow into lives of baptismal holiness. Taking the faith for granted is a door that has been closed. The baptized in Christ are called to be in the Scriptures every day, visiting or revisiting Luther's small and large catechism. There you will find pearls of priceless worth, Just as the Lord knew his Bible, so can we. A friend of mine told me recently that he had stopped watching the news. It is simply too depressing. He turned off the news and turned on his Bible and extra-biblical readings, like the Lutheran Confessions, St. Augustine, C.S. Lewis, and other fine works of the Church. At Calvary, we can prepare ourselves for the Divine Liturgy every week through the weekly podcast that Lene, Kyle, and Pastor Nelson are providing. It's not hard to tell that they are having a good time with this, and why not? When we are opening the Holy Scriptures, it is a most joyful act, for then we are in communion with the Lord, and the Holy Trinity is delighting in communion with His children. In addition to the Bible and catechisms, the Lutheran Book of Worship, the LBW, is a good resource to have in your homes. For it is more than just a hymn book. It is filled with many prayers, including the hours of morning, evening, and compline, as well as smaller offices during the day. You may be asking, what is the best way to read the Bible? In the LBW, there is a daily schedule for reading and prayer, along with suggested psalms. So that could be a nice addition to your spiritual armor. My friend told me since he has turned off the news and spent more time in the sacred writings, he is quite sure his blood pressure has improved. His wife says he is easier to be around, and the word seems to be bearing good and joyful fruit. When the baptized are focused on shoring up our spiritual foundations, then the prayer will be answered of sending workers into the kingdom. For intermission will always lead to outer mission, and we are certainly living in a time when the harvest is plentiful, and the people and the nation in need of the one true shepherd, who alone can bring healing. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome is his theological tour de force. In our reading for today, Paul brings us right to the source of the only love that can bring true healing, the only mercy that can overcome the sin of Adam, the only program that is stronger than the color of one's skin, the only agent that can scour away the sin-stained image of man and woman. Yes, when anyone has done an injustice to anyone else, when the sacredness of life is violated, the old Adam is at work, both in original sin and in the actual sins which flow out of us oh so easily. Sins of prejudice and bigotry, sins of wishing ill for a brother or sister, sins of turning away when someone else is in a place of distress. We struggle daily against sins of omission and sins of commission. The good news is, however, sin is an equal opportunity employer and has no prejudice regarding one's skin color or sex. So far, the nation has yet to have a conversation regarding the power of sin and the need for confession, absolution, grace, and mercy. So far, we continue to bend the knee to the usual gods of programs, throwing corporate and private money at what we think might be a solution, blaming one another, and all in all engaging in secular indulgences and self-granting absolutions. However, a first century Jew in Palestine with olive skin tone and Semitic features, his blood was poured out for all people unconditionally. He has given us a way. St. Paul gives us this joyful antidote for the weak and helpless, you and me. He does so through the deeply felt compassion of Christ. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Three times in these brief verses, Paul uses the word reconcile or reconciliation. Therefore, I'm guessing that it is an important word. In Latin, the word cilia, which is part of reconciliation, has to do with one's eyelashes. So to be reconciled with someone is to be eyelash to eyelash with them. In other words, oh, so close. Since God has reconciled us while we were yet enemies, think of how near he is to us now that he calls us friends. With the Lord of life being so close, can we not move from inner mission to outer mission? But not first without prayer, always with prayer. For now that we have peace with God, can we not carry that peace with deep compassion to shepherdless brothers and sisters? Dietrich Bonhoeffer has some helpful words for us. He said that whenever he was entering into a conversation with someone, a conversation that he knew would be most disagreeable and difficult, he would imagine Christ standing in between, and that would greatly inform his heart, mind, and speech. As we continue to stumble around in the Lord's vineyard, beholding his abundant harvest for those who are lost and helpless, struggling under the heavy burden of sin, let us pray that we too will be workers informed by prayer who always have Christ in our conversations and in our hearts and in our deeds for all brothers and sisters. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age. Amen.
He came, our God, with us to ransom captive creatures made of dust, who mourn in sinful exile here. But now the Son of God has appeared. Rejoice, rejoice, the death which Christ has died forgives the sins of all mankind. He came, the Lord of might, who for his church on Calvary's height all of the law's demands did meet. The Lamb of God, his sacrifice complete. Rejoice, rejoice, the death which Christ has died forgives the sins of all mankind. He came, the promised seed, to free from Satan's tyranny. Oh, with his mighty power to save and give us victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, the death which Christ has died forgives the sins of all mankind. Thank you. his heavenly gates, made safe the way that leads on high. And death's dark shadow put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, the death which Christ has died forgives the sins of all mankind.
Let us profess the faith of the Church with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the gift of your Son, who took on our sins as he suffered and died. Help us to continually place our trust in you and to serve others as Christ served us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our troubled world, dear Father. In this time of pandemic, protests, and economic uncertainty, we pray for your people throughout the world. Bring them good health, racial equality, justice, and economic stability. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear God, we pray for our mission of the month, Global Workers World Mission Prayer League. Bless their work as they see that populations with limited or no access to the gospel can experience the love of Christ. Help us to support them with our donations and our prayers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the NALC, our congregation, our pastors, our staff, our lay leaders, and the many volunteers who do your work here at Calvary. Continue to bless our mission and ministry to your greater honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father God, we pray for those serving in our military, especially Dan, Nicole, Kyle, Alex, Carmen, and all military chaplains. We pray for military veterans, first responders, and all who serve you by serving others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask that you bless students and teachers as this very different school year has come to a close. We pray for their safety and happiness over the summer months as they spend time with family and friends. We pray for parents as they raise their children in faith and love. Give them patience and understanding as they care for their families. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, we ask that you be with all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Please be with Bonnie Johnson as she recovers from back surgery. We pray for those on our prayer lists, as well as those we name in our hearts. Grant them comfort and healing according to your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
O fount of love divine that flows from my Savior's bleeding side, where sinners trade their filthy rags for his righteousness supplied. Mercy cleansing every stain, now rushing o'er us like a flood. There the wretch and vilest ones stand adopted through his blood. O mount of grace, to thee we cling, from the law hath set us free. Once and for all, on Calvary's hill, love and justice shall agree. Praise the Lord, the price is paid, the curse defeated by the Lamb. We who once were slaves by birth, sons and daughters, now we stand. Is mine to drink, for my Lord has conquered death, victorious forevermore. The ancient foe is laid to rest. Hallelujah, Christ is King, alive and reigning on the throne. Our tongues employed with hymns of praise.
Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.